to the Hoopsology Podcast, brought to you by the Bayou City Inn. I'm one of your hosts, Jesus Acevedo Jr., and the next voice you hear will be from the Nostradamus of Astrology, the Zodiac GM.
Hey, what's going on? What's up?
What's up, Zodiac GM? We are back for the 15th episode of the Hoopsology Podcast. You know, we've done a couple in a row. We're starting to get into a good rhythm here.
Nice, man. It's exciting. A lot of stuff going on in the NBA, too, man.
There's a lot of stuff going on in the NBA. Teams are about 60 games in, you know, so most teams have about, 20, 22 games, give or take. So it's about to get really, really tight here in the standings as the playoffs near. Isn't that right, Zodiac?
Oh, yeah. Time is going by really quick. 60 games in. It didn't seem like a couple weeks ago we were just talking about how the season's going to start, it seems like. But yeah, man.
It does seem like that. Time waits for no man.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, before we get into our basketball topics for this episode, we like to educate our faithful listeners. And today we're talking about Sagittarius. And the one thing I know about Sagittarius is, they are very joyful, very, you know, comical, very bubbly, yeah. Very happy, right? Tend to be, right? And I know there's a lot, you know, comedians also tend to be like Sagittarius. They're the comedians. Would that be, how's my assessment of Sagittarius?
Yeah, pretty much for the most part, you're right. It's just they're just outgoing. They're the happy-go-lucky individuals, you know? It is a fire sign, so it's a mutable fire sign. Sagittarius, they tend to be very, very honest, adventurous. They're the one that likes to travel, in a sense, depending on what your moon sign and other placements in your chart. Very, very optimistic. They're the ones that are philosophical, very, very carefree too. They tend to have they tend to be dubbed as sort of like, sometimes they could be careless at times because of their nature to for that freedom. You know, the key thing about Sagittarius, you got to give them that freedom. They don't like to be tied down. If they do, it's not a good look. I mean, it's good luck, you know. So they're very they're also dubbed as the comedians of the zodiac because of their outgoing nature, humorous, also very ambitious. So that's sort of what you're getting out of a Sagittarius. You know, so some of the Sagittarians in the NBA right now, the one that stands out the most is Giannis. Giannis is a Sagittarius with an Aquarius moon. Julius Randle, Brandon Miller, Buddy Hield, Darren Fox, Malcolm Brogdon. It's also Sagittarius. And some of the old timers, Larry Bird. Larry Bird's also a Sagittarius. Sean Kemp, also a Sagittarius. That's what Sagittarius is.
It's interesting you say Larry Bird because, you know, he doesn't seem, at least from the outside viewer, right, that he's very comical. Mm-hmm. He's kind of like joyful. But then when you see him like with friends or like when the camera's not on, it's almost like he switches at times. Well, granted, you know, from stories we've heard, you know. So I wonder if that nature had more to do with his moon sign, right? More so than his sun sign.
Yeah, he's got that rebellious moon sign, Aquarius. So he's a Sagittarius sun with an Aquarius moon. So the thing with Aquarius, they're in general, they just have that knack of not listening to what people say. They kind of like to break the borders a little bit. They're they're outside the box thinkers, and that's what you're getting from for someone with the Aquarius, but filtered through a Sagittarius outgoing nature. I mean, you have yourself a Larry Bird, and ironically the same sun moon combination as Giannis as well.
Interesting.
So that yeah is Giannis interesting. Is also a Sagittarius with Aquarius moon, so those two, I mean, they're really, really good players, but they all, you know, they just so happen to have the same combination as well.
Interesting. You know, Larry Bird was a hell of a scorer, right? He was a hooper. He could score with the best of them. And I'm talking about scoring because LeBron James is the first NBA player in NBA history to reach 40,000 points. 40,000 points. It's just crazy to think about. You know, last year, right, he passed Kareem Abdul-Jabbar to become the number one all-time leading scorer. All time, 40,000 points. Done it in less games than LeBron, than Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and everybody else on the list. And, you know, I know the GOAT debate in NBA is always turned around, you know, and I think we just, there's too many great players for there to just be one, right? I mean, because I think for the longest, Jordan held that title, you know, but I think after for me, after a certain time, LeBron just met him, you know, met that standard, you know. So I think LeBron also as a GOAT. And look, I mean, the 40,000 points aside, Zodiac, LeBron is second in minutes played, fourth in assists, eighth in steals, seventh in games played, and 31st in rebounds. And he's still playing. This is right now. So, you know, and
amazing.
It's pretty amazing, right? And somebody, this is what I want to ask you about, you know, because I know he's a Capricorn. You know, I'm not too familiar on his moon sign, but I want you to tell us how his astrological, you know, moon sign and sun sign play a role in his longevity. Because since 18 years old, 20 years, 29 years in the league almost, and his success has always, he's always met that, you know, he's always met that success. He's always climbed the mountain. And there was this one quote that I think speaks to who LeBron is as a player, right? This was after the first game that he scored to pass the 40,000 points. He said, being the first player to do something, it's pretty cool in this league, just knowing the history, the greats that's come through the league. And then you see some of the greats on the floor tonight. It was great to compete, James said. But for me, the main thing, as always, is to win. And I hated that it had to happen in a defeat. So it didn't matter. He's like, it's cool, but we damn lost. And he cares. So what can you tell us about LeBron James? Break him down for us.
Yeah, so LeBron, he's a Capricorn with an Aries moon, right? So
Aries moon.
Right off the bat, just with those two signs, they're both cardinal signs because, you know, Capricorn is a cardinal, it's an earth cardinal sign, Aries is a fire cardinal sign. So right off the bat, you're getting a leadership, a leader, you know, because both qualities are, they rule a lot of the leadership trait, right? So the thing with Aries, they tend to like to do things fast, they initiate things first, they want to be in first place. They're the ones that's very impulsive, quick tempered, you know, they can throw a little tantrums here and there because of that temper. Think of an Aries sort of like a spark, you know. The spark goes up and then it disappears right away, right? But so temper flares and it goes away right away, right? So it's being filtered through his cardinal, right? So cardinals are very they sort of age backwards, they live life backwards. What I mean by that is they strive for success first before anything else, right? So they want to be successful first and then they play later. And you kind of get a sense of that, you know, with the way he is. He's a very serious individual, you know. And fortunately, you know, from him, with he used his talents wisely and effectively throughout his whole career, and you know, with wisdom and a lot of luck as well. I mean, look where he's at right now. So yeah, I mean, that's a good combination for him. And I notice a lot of leaders tend to have that some sort of cardinal quality in there. You know, Tom Brady, also an Aries moon. You know, he's considered a GOAT on the NFL standards, right? But yeah, in general, there's so many different other sign combinations that could be great. You know, it's just how they use it, in, you know, within their life or careers and whatever sport that they're in. So,
and now for most of the part, you know, for LeBron James history, you know, is what is the animal that represents Capricorn? Is it the
goat.
Ram?
Seagull.
The goat.
The
seagull.
Yeah.
There you go. So it's almost like it was written in the stars for Mr. LeBron James.
Yeah. And you know who else is a Capricorn as well as Wemby? Wemby's a Capricorn. And it's just weird how it seems like, you know, LeBron's carrying the legacy now and he's passing the torch to another goat, like another Capricorn.
Another Capricorn.
Wemby. To be the face of the NBA, and it seems that way, you know, both number one picks, exactly what, 20 years apart or something like that. So
give or take, wow,
yeah. So Wemby is a Capricorn, wild. but he has a Gemini moon, so they're different, you know. So,
yeah, definitely.
Yeah, Wemby's gonna be a little bit more outspoken, you know, tend to kind of speak his mind a little bit more than LeBron. So kind of anticipate that as well.
Interesting. We'll have to keep an eye out for Wemby on future Hoopstrology episodes, you know. But congratulations to LeBron James. First to 40. I don't know if we'll ever see another player hit that, at least maybe not in our lifetime. Maybe when we're old and senior, when we're on Hoopstrology episode 300 or something, you know.
I know, right?
Or 500.
Yeah.
Well, you know, who knows? Do you know who knows, right? We're going to stay in the Western Conference. We're going to move on to the Phoenix Suns, who they just got a bit of bad news when Devin Booker, he's out injured for 7 to 10 days with an ankle injury. He actually missed the last game against the Houston Rockets, if I'm not mistaken. And look, without Booker, the Suns are 4-7. He's critical to what they do. Yes, they have Kevin Durant. Yes, they have Bradley Beal. But I feel like it's Devin Booker's team. You know, as much as Kevin Durant is, you know, one of the greats, I still feel Devin Booker is like the driving engine. You know, I mean, I think, you know, Durant and Beal, they're always going to get you points. But I think Devin Booker adds something else to this team. And you know, Booker is averaging 27.5 points, 6-8 assists. And it couldn't come at a worse time. They're beginning on a 4-game road trip, you know, and you know, one of those games is against the Boston Celtics. So we could see the Phoenix Suns kind of maybe drop from the standings just a bit, depending on, you know, how they do in these 7 to 10 days. They're currently seventh, 35-26. You know, you figure at this point they would be higher. I personally thought they would be higher in the standings. So yeah. I know they've definitely disappointed me in that aspect, you know.
Of course,
injuries. Now, I know one thing you told me before the season was that Devin Booker and Bradley Beal were going to be a good pairing. But now that Devin Booker is out, how is this Phoenix Sun in sync astrology-wise when you take Devin Booker out for his name?
If you look at their synergy, so the synergy actually favors Booker and Beal. The reason why is because Booker, he's a fixed sign of a Scorpio, right? So whenever you mix one of your star players is, for example, in this case, a fixed sign, you look for something that's a compatible element with either cardinal or mutable, right? So who's that player is Beal. So Beal is a cardinal sign of a Cancer. So Scorpio and Cancer it's a strong connection, right? So you add on another piece, you look through that roster, who else fits very well with those two? And that's Nurchik, who's also a starting center. So those three right off the bat, Nurchik, Beal, and Booker are very compatible. Durant, he's a Libra. So he's the odd one out. So this is just hypotheticals, right? I don't wish anything on any players or anything like that. But ideally, this hurts Phoenix. Booker being injured actually hurts their overall synergy more than, say, had it been, someone else like KD, you know, because those are the top three players. If KD was out, for example, or sitting down or whatever the case is, their synergy would have been still good, and they would be able to uphold their winning behavior or winning success towards the playoffs. So, but with Booker out, that's a strong piece because now you're missing that fixed energy of Scorpio, and you have nothing but cardinal and immutable because Royce O'Neal, he's the one that's subbing in for Booker. So their synergy takes a downgrade, of course. Their talent takes a downgrade. Kevin Durant's a very talented player. So is Bradley Beal. But if those two are your go-to guys, they're both opposite elements. Their synergy alone on your top two players, it's not the best. I mean, I would give it about a C+. So those two are your featured players, and it stems down from the rest of the roster. It's not favorable because now you're leaning more towards on Kevin Durant, right? And he doesn't have enough energies to support him to get the best version out of him, if that makes any sense, right? So so we'll see how it goes. At this point, I kind of see them sort of like that neutral, that average synergy type of team, and which they could still win games because of talent alone, but, you know, not as good as we'll anticipate had it been Booker and Beal running the show, you know?
And you know, let me make a correction. He got Devin Booker got hurt in that game, the loss against the Houston Rockets, and he missed in their next game against OKC Thunder. And look, similar to what you're saying, you know, this isn't the Kevin Durant that we saw 5 to even 10 years ago, right? Bradley Beal, you know, he's a scorer, but he's never been able to carry a team. And look, just look at this first game without Devin Booker against OKC Thunder. Kevin Durant had 20 points in 35 minutes. Bradley Beal played 33 minutes. He had 31 points. Nurkic gave you 14 points in 32 minutes. And Eric Gordon gave you 15 points in 30 minutes. And that's who I think they should put into the starting lineup is Eric Gordon, as opposed to Royce O'Neal. I think Royce O'Neal It's more of a defensive presence. Yes, it's good. But look, Eric Gordon, when he comes to it, he can ball.
You're right. Yeah.
A little bit more. A little point. Look, he get 15 points in 30 minutes. Royce Neal got 33 minutes, 9 points. So, yeah. But it's going to be interesting. No, they're going to have to weather this storm now. Because if not, they could drop into the standings. As it is, they're like I said, 7th place. So I don't think they'll fall out of that playing tournament. But you know, we'll see where they land. There's another team that's dealing with a lot of injuries right now. So that is the New York Knicks. Julius Randle has been out. OG Anunoby, who they traded from Toronto, is also out. And just recently, Jalen Brunson, their star player, is out. And look, I think I almost feel bad for a New York Knicks fan, you know, because it's like you finally have a team to be proud of. You know, not that there weren't other teams you're proud of, but I mean, this is a team that they built the right way. They make the right trades. Right. They made the right draft picks and then traded some of them because, you know, to fit the team. They finally did it right. They finally are doing something right with that team that, you know, everybody always says, right? The NBA is better when the Knicks are doing good. I mean, I don't know how much I believe in that, but it's good to see them, right? It's the New York Knicks. But so you feel bad now that I have to deal with all these injuries, and especially to Jalen Brunson, because even with Julian Randle out and OG Anunoby out, they were weathering the storm, right? They were weathering the storm, and that's the big reason why is because of Jalen Brunson. I think now when he's out, it's just going to really be tough. And look, they've scored 14 more points per 100 possessions with Brunson on the floor than they have with him off the floor. So I think the way he moves the ball and the way he picks his pockets of space to shoot and make the defense uncomfortable, there's nobody else that can replicate that. So now with all these players out, give the New York Knicks fans some good news. So like, is there some good news?
Well, the good thing is I was trying to think who their backup is. And I know McBride did play majority of those minutes to replace him. And McBride is a Virgo, right? And who else is a Virgo? Brunson. I mean, you're placing the same energy, basically, what I'm trying to say. But the thing is that their talent, of course, takes a step down. But if you notice, they're still competitive, right? I mean, if you watch the games, they're still hanging in there because their starting unit is still a good synergy unit. I mean, Randle, they did take a step up in synergy whenever Randle, you know, got injured because they put in I can't pronounce his name, Achiuwa. Right, they put him in, or even Hart, and they're more compatible to Brunson. Like, so they have a 4-1 lineup. Hartenstein is a Taurus, Achiuwa is a Virgo, Hart is a Pisces, and then Brunson at the time is a Virgo. So those four alone have a very strong synergy. The fifth person being the odd energy out, which still locates is DeVincenzo is an Aquarius, right? But now since you're replacing a Virgo with a Virgo, meaning McBride over with Brunson, you still have the synergy there, but the talent takes another step down, you know, so they're still going to be competitive. And depending on how Coach Tibbs utilizes rotation off the bench, they have a lot of air and fire energies, right? Bojanovic, you know, he can use Bojanovic situational, but it's not, I feel like he's going to be underused in this roster because the synergy is so off, you know? And
yeah.
And when they made that trade, I was like, oh man, that's not a good pickup because, you know, his energy fits a little bit better with the team like the Bucks, for example. If it was the Bucks, man, that's a steal for the Bucks, but not for the Knicks. You know, it's just it's offsetting. You know, he's gonna be in lineups, you know, with Hart and Brunson. You know, once Brunson gets back and Achiuwa and Hartenstein, and it's just gonna throw off the synergy a little bit. But it's still gonna be effective because he is an elite shooter, right? So you know, he can still be used effectively in that sense. And you know, they just don't have enough energies to have favorable lineups for him, you know, because the majority of their best lineups involve those four players I mentioned, you know, Achiuwa, Hart, Brunson, you know, McBride, of course, and Anunoby when he gets back, you know. So they're all compatible within that core. So once they do come back, this is a very scary team, you know. So low key, this is a team you probably don't want to even face in the playoffs if they're healthy because they can do some damage. So it's one thing to just keep an eye out for that.
And how does Tom Thibodeau's sign play into this? I think I'm trying to remember his sign. What is he?
Yeah, he's a Capricorn, right? So he's a Capricorn. Ooh. So they're natural leaders, but they rule more like by authority. So they set the tone.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and that's kind of what you see. I mean, you visually see it, you know, as well. But that's a good thing, you know, because it kind of sets everyone, like, you know, whatever they're set to, their responsibilities to, they have to do it. And that's kind of like, you know, it's like an order. Like, you know, you kind of have to, it's like sort of like that business mentality, you know, you got to do your job. And then if you don't, of course, you get in trouble, penalized, whatever it is. But that's the type of energy he is. He's that strict mentality, which is, you know, sometimes you need that, you know, to keep everyone at bay. So, and that's what he is. He's a Capricorn. But the good thing is he's very compatible to Brunson. You know, I know Burks just came in. You know, he works well with Burks as well. Hartenstein, Achiuwa, and of course Ananobi. So that's still a good synergy, especially when you have your coach compatible to a lot of your core players.
Well, that is the New York Knicks. Let's hope that Brunson and Julius Randle and Ananobi can come back, and you know, maybe this will help them, right? Because they'll come back a little healthier for the playoffs. But getting that game rhythm, you know, because Brunson was on a roll. So, you know, I'm a fan of him and what he was doing with the New York Knicks. So I hope, you know, I was looking forward to a deep Knicks playoff. Like I thought it was gonna be Celtics Knicks in the Eastern Conference Finals, perhaps.
Ooh, that's gonna be a good one.
or either that or the semi conference, right? Because I forgot we still got the Milwaukee Bucks, which is actually the next team I want to talk about. It's the Milwaukee Bucks, because the Milwaukee Bucks, they are one of three undefeated teams since the All-Star break. They're 8-7 under Doc Rivers before tonight's game against the Los Angeles Clippers, a game that they won. So now they're 9-7 under Doc Rivers, and now they have won, I believe this is their sixth game in a row. And look, the Milwaukee Bucks did this without Giannis playing. Giannis did not play in today's game, so Damian Lillard carried him. He had 41 points. Bobby Portis with 28 points, and Patrick Beverley, good old Patrick, with the 12 points. 12 points. I can't read. It's late on a Monday night. 12 points. Yeah. So
four steals. Don't forget about the steals.
Four steals. Yeah. 94 feet. Four steals. Yeah. So what I'm interested to see is how this team, you know, because astrologically speaking, the Clippers are better aligned than the Milwaukee Bucks. But I'm wondering if taking Giannis out and the lineup they used, which was Malik Beasley, Jay Crowder, Brook Lopez, Patrick Beverley, Damian Lillard, Bobby Portis, if those six, and you know, I guess you could throw Pat Connaughton and Danilo Gallinari as well, if they had a better sync, or it just so happens to be this was one where, you know, the Bucks just get it out. So break down the Bucks. How are they without Giannis right now?
Well, with Giannis, I mean, of course, with Giannis, they're a lot better. Just plain and simple, right?
right.
I think it's just clicking for them right now. They're getting it. I mean, it took Doc Rivers some time. And I noticed one thing with Doc Rivers, and I think it's sort of like a typical Libra thing, is they want to balance everything out, right? So the good thing about what a lot of stuff that he was saying, he kept on saying, hey, it's going to be a hard thing to coach. He was very realistic, right? But they always want to be the underdogs too. You know what I mean? So
he was underselling the team. He's exactly. We suck. And exactly. Here they're winning. They're like, oh my God. Yes.
And I knew that. I sensed that, because that's just their nature too. They favor underdogs, and that's just the way they are about a lot of things in life, because they don't want to be overhyped. You know, they want to be realistic, and that's a good thing. And it also sets a tone for the rest of the squad too, because, you know, now you don't have too much hype. You kind of keep them like humble and honest, right? So, and now he's getting it. I mean, the defense, I think, is what's the strong point here.
Yes.
I think they really did a good job with the Clippers, because Clippers are a very, very good team. I still rate them A+ in all three categories: experience, talent, and synergy. Milwaukee is up there as well. They're starting to click a little bit. They did add a lot of energy, an energy with that is compatible to Damian Lillard and Patrick Beverley, and that's helpful as well. You know, and they ran the backcourt this evening, and they did a wonderful job in defense as well. So, synergy wise, you know, it's not like they improve anything, but I think a lot of it, especially with the win against the Clippers, you know, this evening, is based on the defense that Doc Rivers is implementing, and the team is buying in, because they're seeing the results. And, you know, I did mention that back then with Giannis and Doc Rivers, they have a strong connection. And if you have your leader happy to be, to, you know, first and foremost, that's a good thing. Even though Lillard, he is the second best player, they don't have the best overall synergy. But of course, whatever it takes to get wins and win the championship, I mean, you have a goal, you kind of, you do sacrifice. And a lot of players, I'm sure, do that, right? It's when you start losing too many games is when stuff really comes out, right? So right now they're doing good. If they can maintain that, the positivity is there. Giannis being in Sagittarius, the positivity helps a lot. You have a great leader because Libra, which is Doc Rivers, he's a Libra, cardinal sign, leader of communication. They're visionaries. So he has a vision, right? He's like, hey, if y'all want to win the championship, we need to do this, this, and that. And people will listen. People will buy in, and that's what's happening right now. This Bucks team, it did take them a while because I did get the sense that they were going to struggle. But usually when teams struggle, they figure it out, but it takes some time, you know? And once it does, and once they do get it, then that's when they start rolling, you know? And that's kind of what you're seeing right now as we speak with the Milwaukee Bucks.
No, and this is something that you tweeted out, and I think you tweeted out as soon as they signed him. When the Bucks signed Danilo Gallinari, you said he may not play a lot, but just him being on the team, his synergy is going to help this team. And they haven't lost since they signed Danilo Gallinari, if I'm not mistaken, right? So, what is his sign, and how does he fit in?
Well, Danilo, he's a Leo. And the best way to think about it, you know, Leo and Sagittarius worked very well, right? But not only that, because, I mean, John's being a Sagittarius, so that's a strong connection right off the bat. But not only that, he's also very compatible to Aries, which is what Brooke Lopez is, right? Mm. Not only that, he's also compatible to another Sagittarius on the starting unit, Beasley. He's a Sagittarius, right? And not only that, he's also compatible to Coach. So you have a lot of strong connections, right? Because Coach is a Libra, and then, you know, Leo Libra connection is a very, very strong connection as well. So you have a lot of strong connections with a lot of key pieces on the team. And that's a big plus, right? Even though ideally he's not fully, the synergy is not the best with Lillard, but Lillard is a cardinal sign. And a Leo is a fixed sign that also has a connection there on a different layer, you know, because of the qualities are compatible, right? So it works out that way as well. So, yeah, what was it, their record, like 6-0? And the best way to think about it is like, it's like just him being in the locker room, his energy, and he is a veteran, right? He's been in the league for quite some time now. Mm-hmm. And just his presence in the locker room, you know, helps a lot because you're improving a synergy of an existing synergy with Brooke Lopez, even Middleton, you know, once he comes back, I mean, they're going to really start clicking. I mean, if he's healthy and all, right? But right now it does help, even though he doesn't play a lot of minutes, but just him being around the locker room, it's a big, big plus. And I got a sense once they sign him, like that's a good pickup right there. You know, that type of pickup, even though he doesn't play a lot of minutes, it's a lot better than say if it was an opposite energy with your best player. You kind of want to feed your best player. You know what I'm saying? So that's kind of what you're getting.
That's the Milwaukee Bucks. And look, you called it early. You said, you know, when Doc Rivers, Libra, he fits this team better than Adrian Griffin. Didn't start out smooth, but the ship is starting to level, and now it's when they're going to start, you know, taking the ship to higher seas.
But you got to keep remember, they're going to keep being underdogs, and remember that. That's a typical Libra thing. Hey, you know who's another Libra? Steve Kerr. Have you noticed some of this press conference? He's tight. You know, he doesn't brag. He's just sort of, you know, he's funny, you know, in a sense, but he can always want to keep it, you know, down. You know, so he doesn't want to overhype anything. You know, they want to be the underdogs for the most part.
The underdogs. I will consider the Hoopstrology podcast the underdogs because we're new, right? There's nobody there's nobody like us. So we're educating people, and you know, that was our 15th episode. So Dave GM, any final words?
Follow us on Twitter X at Hoopstrology and the Zodiac GM.
And follow me, Jesus_Acevedo Jr. And follow the Bayou Cidian. Thank you so much for listening to the Hoopstrology podcast. Don't forget to subscribe. See you.